Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Here, Bird Show.
You women, you're fascinating creatures. You're fascinating creatures.
We like to look good, feel good. Look good, feel good, do good.
So we're in studio, and I noticed when I walked in here this morning that Abby looks especially tan this morning. So I asked her while we were in break, are you going somewhere this weekend? And she said no. And I said, are you going somewhere next week? And she said, no. Why? And I said, well, I noticed you got a beautiful spray tan. And she said,
I'm going out to dinner with Kristen tonight. And then I'm going to go to a bar and hopefully entrap a man into talking to me for 5 to 10 minutes.
So she can rubber spray tan all over him.
So if you were only going out to dinner with Kristen tonight, is that a spray tan event or is it more applicable to afterwards when you're going out to bars?
It kind of depends, because the first time we went out to dinner, I did not get a spray tan because it was a weeknight and I was going straight home and then back into the office the next day. But then last time I got a spray tan and we did go to the bars afterwards. So I really do feel like it's more of a bars thing.
It is. Okay.
Or sometimes it's a dress up thing and I plan to look cute tonight and really like put some effort into an outfit and the spray tan completes it.
100%. Because there is something about like a healthy glow, even when you've gotten it artificially, that just makes you feel better about yourself. And depending on what I wear, if my legs will be showing, I'll be wearing my leg makeup.
Okay, so this is where I was going to go next. Because I was wondering where I was going to fit this in on the show.
Yeah, I'm giving you the opportunity. I'm literally serving it up to you on a platter.
Now it's double layered here. Okay, we're super sizing. So we're in San Diego, and Kristen, I don't even know how it came up, but told me that you had put like leg makeup on. I had never heard this before in my life, and I was wondering if this was just a Kristen thing, and you assured me it is not.
So I don't think it's as mainstream as, but it is very, it is known body makeup. I think it's more of like a, it's ridiculous, but I don't care because I like the way it makes my legs look. So I have learned about body makeup and especially makeup for your legs, courtesy of certain celebrities that I follow. Recently, Chrissy Teigen posted a video of her in the tub and the water was just rank. Like it was foamy and filthy and dirty. And it's because she was washing off her body makeup, okay?
Fascinating.
And I, you know, my legs, because I have a toddler that like crawls all over me, I bruise really easily and they're starting to get like some little varicose veins and things of that nature. And they're just not as pristine as they used to be. So I purchased some body makeup from Amazon specifically for your legs. And I apply it onto my legs if I'm wearing shorts or, you know, a shorter dress.
So as you answered my question, it's different than the makeup you would put on your face.
Absolutely.
It's actually made for your legs.
Correct. Uh-huh. This is specifically leg makeup.
I thought she was putting like foundation on your legs.
No, I could. That's super expensive.
So expensive.
I would not dare, you know, use my Fenty, you know.
Okay, got it.
That's a $100 night out.
Yes. So it's just a bottle and I have a specialty brush and you put it on the brush and you just brush it on your legs and it takes a little bit because you want to make sure it's even because you don't want to have like splotches. But yeah, man, it smooths the tone and it gets rid of like just different like blemishes and things of that nature.
No idea.
It's fascinating.
Now, are there different makeups for different body parts, like some for legs, some for, are we talking about a bronzer here or are we talking makeup?
It is not a bronzer. It is body makeup. So I use the one I got that's only $11 off of Amazon. I use the Sally Hansen Airbrush Legs.
Oh my God, that sounds good.
It is so
What a pain in the ass to be a woman.
And there's different tones. So, I mean, there's different shades for depending if you've had a spray tan or not, or, you know, what your coloring is.
You have to have your summer foundation and your not summer foundation.
Facts.
Because we're two different shades depending on the day.
100.
Yesterday, I was a nice icy winter. Today, I'm Aruba.
In this Sally Hansen leg makeup, like, you can look, and it's waterproof. So, like,
you can sweat.
Yes, you can sweat. You can get in water. You literally have to take soap and scrub it off your legs. And then when you do, it's just like a sea of brown that goes down into the shower.
It's so bad.
And swirls down.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
This is such a bait and switch for guys. I mean, we don't know what we're signing up for.
You don't pay attention. This is not for you. You have no idea.
No, but if you were single and you were going out and you have your body makeup on and you get your push-up bra on and you got your Spanx on and stuff like that, well, then when we get you home, it's just like bait and switch.
No, think
it's
about it.
It's not even what we bought at the store.
It's a two-for-one deal. You get two women in one. One day I look like this. One day I look like something else.
It's the Burt Show.
So Rachel here is a little on the confused side because her ex-boyfriend just gave her a designer watch as a parting gift after their relationship, and she's not exactly sure what to do with it. Hey, Rachel.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Okay, so how long was this relationship?
We were together about 2 years. Okay. So, you know, not short, but not long, I guess. Just the last couple months just were super rocky. A lot of petty, stupid arguments. And I don't know, it just kept building up, you know, just kind of slowly. And, you know, you just feel that we were drifting apart, but I don't know. You could feel it was like imminent that something was going to happen, but we just, you know, I did not want it to happen. I don't know, he came over to my house this past weekend and he broke up with me. I mean, it was devastating, honestly. I don't know. I tried to talk through it, honestly, and tried to get him to, you know, I don't know, like see a different way and try to figure out how we could all make it, you know, salvage it. But I don't know, it just seemed like he was over it. This is the most interesting part. So he gets up to leave and then as he's leaving, he places a gift box on the coffee table. And then, he told me he wanted me to have it, because, you know, he really treasured the time that we had spent together. And then he walked out the door and honestly, to say devastated would be an understatement. I was like, not okay. Took me a little while, but then I finally opened up the box and it was a Cartier watch valued at $3,700.
Wow. He got you.
Hello.
Yeah. A Cartier watch?
He really wanted you.
As a parting gift?
He wanted you out of his life.
There you go. Here's this instead.
Wow.
Yes. And I, of course I kept it and I still have it, but I don't know what to do with it. Like, do I keep it or do I give it back to him or do I sell it? Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to think of the philosophy behind like a parting gift to begin with.
Maybe it was a gift that he bought her and was going to give it to her at some point. Like, I don't know if you have a birthday coming up or maybe he got it for you for Christmas and just hadn't given it to you yet. And he's like, well, I don't really want to hang on to this, so I'll give it to you while we're breaking up.
I've just
honestly,
always...
it felt like a consolation prize or something, you know, like I don't know. And then it also like kind of felt like reverse prostitution or something. Like, I'm not quite sure. It was like I got paid afterwards for a relationship. It has some weird feelings attached to it. I don't know.
Well, let's go ahead and immediately throw out the option of giving it back to him. Okay. You got $3,700 here.
Hey. Yeah, that shouldn't be an option.
Yeah, shouldn't be an option. That's gone. So do you sell it? Do you keep it? What does it say? Is he trying to like hold on to her?
No, it doesn't sound like it from like the breakup conversation. I'm assuming if he's giving you, Rachel, a Cartier watch, he must be well off.
Yeah, he does really well. I mean, I do pretty good in my own job as well, but he is definitely a level above and he was like taking me on vacations and he definitely, you know, bought flowers and buy dinner. And he definitely is makes quite a bit more money than I do. Yeah. So he doesn't think of money the same way maybe.
So you get this watch, like talking through the emotions of receiving, I can understand why you feel kind of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Icky.
Yeah, put off, you know, by the fact that he feels, okay, well, I'm going to break up with you, but I'm going to give you a gift to lessen the blow or something like that. It's like he thought you could be bought in a weird way.
It's like insulting.
I don't know what he's buying. Yeah.
It feels insulting to me.
I've always felt like people who have that kind of money where it's disposable income, like it's almost how they deal with the guilt of walking out of your life. Like, I'm taking all of this away from you. The least I can do is give you something to walk away with.
So again, not about her. Mm-hmm. It's just about him and easing his conscience.
That's kind of how I've always seen it.
And well, that makes it easier to keep if you're looking at it that way.
And you're doing fine financially. So it's not like he's throwing you a bone where he's like, here, I know that she could get on her feet. If I give her this ring, she's got $3,700. You've got your own money.
I definitely have my own money, but I mean, it's, it feels like he maybe has done this before. Like, it felt very like kind of packaged.
Huh.
I don't know. It was very strange in that sense, but yeah, no, I'm fine financially. Like, I don't need it, but I kind of want it.
Well, yeah. So I was going to ask, is your like pride and morality saying return the watch and be like, screw you, I don't need this. Like, you know, we parted ways, or yeah,
$3,700. If I'm being honest right now, I'm still a little raw from it all. Like, there's still a part of me that feels like maybe there's still hope. But I know it kind of looking at this watch makes me realize there isn't hope. But I also think I'm still kind of holding out for it. So I haven't really taken it out of the box yet, or it's just kind of sitting on the table. I don't know. Maybe it's my closure. What I do with it is my closure. I don't know.
Well, you know what would put a salve over all those raw, tough feelings? It's a nice $3,700 vacation that you got from pawning off that watch.
Hell,
little spa treatment.
See, for me, I wouldn't want to look at anything physical like that.
Same.
From an ex. First of all, depending on who he is that a calculated move to get into your head? Like, when you're gone, at least you're going to be thinking about me. I'm with Abby. Mm. I would turn it around and I would spend that thing on a vacation immediately. Give me new memories.
For me, in a world where people are getting ghosted and not getting any answers, that would be a reminder of the time I wasted and how I deserve it. So if I would keep it because I'm a watch guy. But if you're not, then I'd say sell it.
Would you be able to enjoy yourself on that vacation?
Hell
yeah.
Oh,
in fact, I'm going to enjoy it more. It's on his dime. His time.
Go take yourself a $3,700 vacation and hook up with a whole bunch of dudes.
Hey, that sounds like a great idea.
And there's some countries at the top of that list that you need to be heading.
You're going to be just fine.
What would be your number one country to go?
We go into Italy, baby. Buongiorno.
This is The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So do people really fit into one of these 4 categories? And if so, what type of friend are you? Type A, type B, type C, or type D?
Are these about to hurt some people's feelings?
I don't think so. I don't think either of them are bad, but let's just say you probably would prefer to have one type over the other if you were choosing friends.
Okay.
So a TikToker in North Carolina named Deanna May blew up online after a video she shared of what all of her type B friends are like. And this is loosely based off of personality types. Type A and type B are more familiar. Psychologists think that type C and type D are also personalities, though. So on a grand scheme of things, in general, type A's are usually higher achievers who like being in charge. Type B's are typically more chill. Type C's are like type A's but hide their emotions more. And type D's are more irritable. So her friend categories are all similar, but each one has its own set of quirks. So I'll get into it a little more detailed so you can determine which type friend you may be.
Or what type friends
you think you are.
What's funny is you may think you're a type A or a type B, and your friends will be like, honey, I hate to break it to you, but you're a D.
That ain't your type. Type A friend is usually the over-responsible one. So you plan and organize everything, and you have a sense of urgency, and you make sure things like vacations don't fall apart.
Hello, my name is Kristen. Before hearing the rest of the types, I would like to declare that I am the type A friend.
Your type A friend.
Yes.
You think your friends would say the same?
I think so, because I'm the one with the itinerary, and I do overly plan. I do, courtesy of my generalized anxiety disorder, have a sense of urgency, and I will do everything in my power to make sure those said plans do not fall apart.
Okay, I think that's a great type friend to have.
You should hang on, Kristen, because I just looked down the list and the word neurotic is under one.
Oh, sweet.
So don't jump too fast.
Okay.
Type B friend, you give someone the shirt off your back, but you need help too. You're forgetful, you leave things behind, and your phone is always dead.
That sort of sounds like Bert.
Yep. I was like, do I say it? Yeah. I mean, he is not here today.
So type B, the B is for Bert.
B.
Type C friend, you're organized like type A, but you're more neurotic. More likely to bow out of things other people want to do, and you love long naps.
Oh, type C for Cassie.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's you?
No, I, because
no, Cassie, I'm saying
long naps. Mm-hmm.
I know Tommy was mentioning that there was neurotic in one, and that might be me. And while I can be definitely a little neurotic, I typically don't bow out of things other people want to do, and I don't take naps. So can't be me.
Don't take naps.
I don't. I'm not a nap person.
Oh, naps are glorious.
I know.
That probably Katie, isn't it? Katie's definitely in the type C friend.
Oh, and she does bow out of stuff all the time.
She be bowing out.
All right, yeah. I might have to give that to Katie.
That's definitely Katie. Type D friend, you're annoyed a lot, prone to confrontation, have a twisted sense of humor, and you might be into weird stuff like crystals and astrology. They could have just added me. Yeah. Hey, that is definitely me. I'm the type D friend. Tommy, what type of friend do you think you are?
Well, you had me on that last one too. You mentioned the crystals and astrology. I'm not into that. I'm like a combination of all of them to some extent.
I bet there, I mean, I don't think that you have to fall specifically under one category. I think there are people out there that can be like a amalgamation of multiple.
Do you think you have a type that you'd prefer? If you could choose, which friend would you want to have?
The one I am. I'm cool with A, yeah.
I would say A too.
Yeah, I'm fine with all of these. I mean, I'd be friends with all of them.
You need them all for different reasons.
Yeah.
Almost.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Kelly Ripa on one of the latest episodes of Live with Kelly and Mark revealed a common bedtime habit that could be ruining your relationship. And as soon as she shared it, I was like, oh my God, my husband and I are so guilty of this. Here she is telling everybody about parallel scrolling.
You want to hear about the bedtime habit that's ruining our relationship and it's not sex?
What is it?
It's called, I'm trying to find, parallel scrolling.
Oh.
It's when we are side by side in the bed, scrolling parallel. Anyway, they're saying that you're basically decreasing the chances of intimacy and affection and generally engaging with your partner.
Yeah.
Kelly, that's the goal.
Well, now my husband and I don't do parallel scrolling. We used to. Like, he would get into bed. And I think, too, especially if you have kids, you're just trying to get a little bit of time that's just for you. And whether that's, like, just diving into your algorithms on social media or whatever you're doing. Like, you're like, this is how I want to spend my time. And I finally get to spend it how I want it. But he and I would do that. He'd get into bed. I'm in bed. And we're just sitting there scrolling. But now I'm sitting there reading my ACOTAR books and he's the one that's scrolling. So I don't know if that's still considered parallel scrolling.
See, that's my thing. If you're reading, where are all the articles about how it's bad to read in bed next to each other? What I don't like about this, and I think it's right. Like, mm-hmm. It does decrease your chances for intimacy and engagement. But at the same time, I don't need to be on all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be looking to engage all the time. Sometimes I do just want to check out of reality and watch someone do a dumb TikTok dance.
Don't they say the best friends in the world are capable of just being next to each other without making a sound?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
This is The Bert Show.
You were so done. You were so done with your marriage in October. And then you said to yourself, you know what? I'm not doing anything about this. Thanksgiving's right around the corner. I'm not going to file.
We got Halloween. You got Thanksgiving.
It's the holidays and you got Christmas. And you're like, man, I'm not going to do it here. But man, I'll tell you what, come January 1st, I'm calling a divorce attorney.
Well, there's a reason why January is called divorce month.
Yep. And that's why we have Jared Oxendine in this morning. Hey, Jared, how are you?
Good morning, Bert Show. Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Attorney Jared Oxendine.
Jared, we were just talking off the air, man. He was just like, yes, come January, the phones are ringing off the hook in the office.
That's right. Holidays can be stressful, and a lot of people are already in a bad situation before the holidays, and then they go into the holidays, and it just gets worse, and you're doing the in-laws and all the kind of stressful things, and they just grin and bear it, and then January 1st hits. It is like the dog out of the cage on the first day of hunting season.
All right, so if you have a question, because I've gone through divorce, man, and it is a mountain, an emotional mountain. It all the details is a mountain also, and sometimes you have no idea where to even start. If you have any questions on how to start a divorce, Jared is here right now, again from Oxendine Law, and you could call 1 I forgot the phone number.
855-BIRCHO. Yeah. 855-237-8746.
23 years.
This is your show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, whatever happens, man.
I don't know why.
Okay.
I don't think I am.
Was this your stroke moment?
I think I might have.
You still had two numbers in, you know?
We shouldn't joke about this because you really had one in your eye.
I had one in my eye, right? 1-855-BIRCHO. All right, so I have one for you. I have heard this, and I have never got it confirmed before or not. So if I'm thinking about getting a divorce, and I want to block my soon-to-be ex from all the good attorneys in town, can I call those attorneys and just say, hey, my name is Bert Weiss. I am interested in a consultation. And at that point, the person I'm about to get married to cannot use that attorney.
It's true. And it I hate is. When that happens because it happens to me sometimes.
It is true.
And so you can conflict out all the great attorneys in town.
That is petty.
Now you can't do it by just calling saying, I want to have a consultation. You actually have to have the consultation.
Can it be a phone consultation?
It can be a phone consultation. Oh. It can be Zoom in person. But I can tell, you know, I can't always tell because people don't just come out and tell you when they're meeting with you that they're there to conflict you out. But you can kind of get a feeling when somebody's sitting in front of you, they're just kind of going through the motions.
Yeah.
And that happens to me. And it makes me mad because I can't kick him out of my office.
It's right. Such a waste of your time.
It
it's
is.
A waste of everybody's time.
But you know
time.
What? That means I'm good, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't want their spouse to have me.
Right. So you're really blocking all the good attorneys from the person you're about to divorce. I didn't know if that was true or not. It is.
True story.
Okay.
You can do it.
So yeah, because I've seen that in movies and seen that in TV shows. And the fact that that's an actual, I mean, stuff has gotten, it must have gotten so bad if you're willing to go to those lengths to screw your ex.
Strategic. Yeah.
You know, that's just one of many things. I mean, if you're at the point where you're conflicting out of divorce attorneys, you're probably also that guy, you know, or woman. I've had females do this too, where you're so controlling, right, of your spouse. Like, for example, I have spouses that are not allowed to touch thermostat. Right?
What?
I mean, their spouse is that controlling. Like, if they touch the thermostat and lower the temperature, raise the temperature, they're in trouble for it. And then that snowballs into micromanaging the finances and what they do during their free time. And it's just, you know, snowball effect.
Well, I do kind of understand the thermostat. 1-855-BIRCHO.
All right, so before we get our caller on, and obviously there's like client-attorney privilege and stuff like that. And so obviously, you know, keep it anonymous. But I would like to spill a little bit of tea. What's the worst thing you've ever seen?
Oh my gosh, I've had so much crazy stuff. I mean, I have had probably the worst thing I've ever seen is there was this, I represented the wife, and she was married to this bigwig financial guy. I mean, he was like the top guy at one of the major financial firms, international financial firm. And she went to the back of his closet one day, and she found some female clothing that was not hers, including high heel shoes and dresses. And, you know, she found this box. It had some, like, videos in there that were kind of, you know, not of the type of sexual stuff that she was used to. And so long story short, I mean, this guy was a cross-dresser. And you actually, if you worked at his firm, you had to actually buzz his office. He's on a separate floor by himself. He kept his office locked. And you had to buzz him and give him like 30 minutes advance notice just as a coworker to visit him at his office. So who knows what this guy was out doing?
Right?
Not only on the streets, but also in his office. So
sure.
He was a cross-dresser. I mean, it's just all kinds of crazy stuff.
Jared Oxendine from Oxendine Law is here. Divorce attorney, if you have any questions at all, you've been thinking about it, 1-855-BIRCHO. Hey, Kristen, good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining. What's up?
So I am separated from my soon-to-be ex-husband. We have joint 50-50 custody of our two boys. He makes at least double the amount of income I do. So I'm just wondering if, you know, once we get separated and everything or go through and file for divorce, if I am owed any of his income or especially 401k retirement or anything or how that works.
Absolutely. So anything acquired during the marriage is marital. It doesn't matter if your husband is the only one that acquired the money in his 401k, for example. If it was earned during the marriage, you've got a claim to it. If he's the breadwinner and he's been supporting you financially and you haven't been working, for example, he's probably going to owe you some alimony, not to mention child support. Even in a 50-50 situation on custody, if he makes more money than you, he still would have to pay some support. So make sure you have a consultation with a very good experienced divorce attorney so you can get what you're entitled to.
I feel like today I hear a lot more men be vocal about their fear of getting married, even if they're in love, because of what divorce could look like. Do you think that's a legit fear, or do you think a lot of men are misinformed in that area?
I think it's both. I will say the marriage rate for the younger generation is on the decline. Mm-hmm. It just is. That's a fact. Society has changed. Cultures have changed. You know, it's not frowned upon as much to see two people that are living together. You know, it used to be they're living in sin. You know, they're living together and they're not married. That's not really around as much anymore. But think about the example where you need some protections. If you don't get married, you spend 20 years with somebody, and let's say they're the one making all the money, they've got all the assets in their name, and then you break up, you get nothing.
So let's talk about that for just one second. I'm glad you brought this up, because the trends are starting to change now. So let's say you do live with somebody for 12 years, 13 years, but you never get married. It's very different. Like, what is it called? Common law marriage? Is that a thing?
That went away in 1997, January 1st of 1997. So after that date, if you enter into a common law marriage, it's not recognized anymore. So your example, 12 years, if your name's not on anything, you get nothing. So if you're going to stay together and not get married, make sure your name is on the bank account. Make sure your name is on the house. Can't do anything about the retirement account if it's a 401k. Mm-hmm. But you got to be careful if you're not going to get married, because then you don't have that legal contract. Mm.
I want to ask, because Britney Spears got screwed, and I don't want anybody else to get screwed. So I read her book, and in it, they had her file for the divorce, because ultimately she ended up getting screwed, because then she had to pay for all of Kevin Federline's attorney fees, and she didn't realize that. Like, they had spun it for her that for public opinion, it was better for her to file than for him to file, because then she looked like a bad wife and mother, et cetera, whatever. So I wanted to ask you, for others, does it matter who files, or is that only this situation because there's so much at stake? Like, is there a benefit to filing first? Is there a benefit to filing second, or not having the other person file?
Couple benefits to filing first. So if you file first, you're controlling when the process gets started. You're also controlling whether or not a hearing gets scheduled at the time you file the case. The strategical advantage that I like is in court. If you filed first, you get the first word with the judge or the jury and the last word. Other than that, there's no benefit.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Lindsay, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you. We've got Jared Oxendine in here from Oxendine Law. He can help you out.
So I am currently in a wonderful marriage. However, my husband did have children prior, and they were not married, but they have all the child support and everything set up and all of that. And I was curious how that works now that we've gotten married. Does that get looked at again? I actually make more money and didn't know how that works.
So you're worried that he's going to have to pay more child support because the two of you have combined income now.
Right.
Not true. So his child support obligation for his other children is only going to be based on his income. So they can't look at your assets or your income and coming up with his child support obligation.
There are two people that are married. One of them is screwing around on the other one so much that the other one's like, I can't take this anymore. We are going or getting a divorce. Does a judge actually look at infidelity in divorce cases, or does it not matter at all?
Judge does. Now, I will say it doesn't make as much of an impact as it used to. It used to be if you committed adultery and that was the reason for the divorce, judge was going to hammer you. Now, unfortunately, the judges see that all the time. You'd be shocked how many cases involve adultery. And unless it's just a crazy case, the judge still might divide all the assets 50-50. You know, the example I always like to give is I actually represented the bad guy in this case. I represented the pilot, and his wife was disabled, and she required caregivers to take care of her. And so what he did is he ran off with his airline stewardess, left her high and dry, stopped paying the bills, stopped paying for her caregiver. Yes, in that case, he got hammered and the judge gave her most of the assets. My other funny story is I represented the wife in this other case, and her husband was a serial adulterer. Mm-hmm. And we came up with a scheme. She did not want him to get any of her assets. So she came to me and said, what can we do so that when I get divorced, I get everything? And I said, you know what? Let's do a postnuptial agreement. People don't know this. You can do a postnuptial agreement, which is like a prenuptial agreement, but it's an agreement you enter into after you get married. So we drew this thing up because she caught him red-handed, and it said, if you ever cheat on me again and I have to file for divorce, I get it all.
Mm.
He signed it.
He
signed it.
What dummy?
6 months later. 6 months later, guess who's sitting in my office?
Come on, really?
And she got it all.
Genius.
All right, that is attorney Jared Oxendine from Oxendine Law. You guys, I'm sure, have a website, right?
We do, oxlawfirm.com.
Appreciate you coming on in. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
Get it. The Burt Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm giving you the warning now. The dark side is going to be filled with bodily fluids.
Oh, neat.
If you are queasy or you don't like disgusting things, come back later. Or if you enjoy it, make sure you listen to it again on the podcast. Because we're doing the dark side of fitting rooms.
Okay.
Every industry has its deep, dark secrets. Until Kristen shines a light on its dark side.
Welcome to my dark side.
I'm sure there are studies done on this kind of thing, like what kind of lighting to put in fitting rooms in order for people to purchase more merchandise than they normally would. Because there are very few that you walk into where you're like, oh, damn, I look good.
Not black light.
Because never black light.
Our dude's getting nasty.
Oh, dude. Listen.
Put it away.
I have no idea why I decided to do the dark side of fitting rooms. Something just crawled into my brain and said, search this. And I did, and the list were plentiful. And I'm like, this is what we're going to do. Listen, there was a ton of stuff like that with men being inappropriate in dressing rooms. So we're not going to go there. And then also there's a ton of peeping Toms. I'm not even really going to cover any of those because those were plentiful as well.
What's left?
You would be surprised.
For the dudes that think that, you know, that's okay because it's a private location. That is not private.
No.
You're still in public in a fitting room. You gross creep.
Disgusting.
Calling all sales floor / soft lines members. What is the worst fitting room event that has happened to you / someone you know? I'll go first. I was taking hangers and clothes out of the fitting room when lo and behold, someone left their used dirty pad on the floor. I almost cried.
Yep. That's disgusting.
That happened over and over and over again. Women leaving feminine products in the fitting rooms. It was disgusting.
Is it possible they just forget?
No.
Like you put it to the side and you just
No. You don't put it to the side. Also, it sticks to your clothing.
What if it just falls off?
It doesn't fall off. It's sticky on the underneath.
A couple of years ago, there was a group of 5 teenagers in the family room with about 60 pairs of jeans. The operator was on lunch, so they were able to sneak right in to the fitting room. They stayed for an hour, and when they left behind all 60 pairs of jeans, inside out, all in a pile on the floor.
Man. Oh, that's foul.
The fitting room operator came back, and her and I started picking up each pair of jeans, folding them back properly. Then when we finally reached the bottom, there was a big pile of poop.
No, it wasn't.
No.
These scum, trashy teenagers pooped under all of it. I absolutely hate them to this day.
Oh, man. How do you even think to do something like that?
That's horrible.
That's pure evil, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's not. Oh, my God. I can't. If I was that person's mother.
One of our gals found a gun in the fitting room.
No.
Called the police immediately, shut the fitting rooms down. Idiot came back for it right about the same time the police showed up.
I was about to say, probably forgot it by
America. Years ago, at a now defunct retailer, a loss prevention officer would climb up in the ceiling over the women's fitting room and observe the ladies trying on clothes. Dude. No one would probably even have known he was there if he hadn't have fallen through the ceiling tiles and about scared everyone in the fitting room to death. It was all over the news.
I mean, think about this. When something like that happens, you know, you're going to get arrested and you have to tell the family exactly who you are at that point. Like, this is me and all my creepiness. You had no idea I had this depth of creepy in me. Do not save any of that.
It's also just so much effort. Like, get on Cornhub like an adult. Yeah. You see a naked lady.
It's free.
It's free.
Like, what is the problem?
From the comfort of your own home. Get up the ceiling, my guy.
What are you doing?
During prom season, I was working at Blank, and we constantly had dresses piled up high in the back fitting room. One day, I walked toward the room. I smelled something absolutely repulsive. I looked down only to realize that someone peed on the mountain of prom dresses. I've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
Dude, there were so many bodily fluids. It was insane. My boyfriend and I wanted to be adventurous, so we decided to do it in a dressing room.
Okay. All right.
Just as he was almost done, the fire alarms went off.
No.
We panicked because in that store, only one person was allowed in the dressing room. The employees unlocked our door and found us butt naked. After we made awkward eye contact, she told us to get out. It was a false alarm, but we were banned from the store forever. I was working at a children's store on Black Friday. A mother walked out of the fitting room holding a pair of our store's jeans a good distance away from her body. I asked her if she needed help, and she handed me the jeans and said, "Here, my daughter had an accident in these." She didn't even offer to clean up the mess on the floor.
Come
either.
On.
Gosh, wow. Are you kidding me?
Where's decency going?
Yuck.
One time, I was at a clothing store during a clearance sale. Finally found an empty stall and started undressing. Just as I took off my pants, a woman flung the curtain open. She pushed her way into the stall, closed the curtain, and proceeded to undress and try on clothes in front of me. The entire time, she talked about how big my boobs were and started grabbing things from my pile of clothing. I stood there in shock, practically naked. And here is your last one that I can tell on the air.
Okay.
I have others that I have saved for our bonus content.
Oh, God. Okay, so
thank
if you want to
so
if you want to pay for that.
Yes. Okay. Uh-huh.
We'll give you a discount this week.
When I was trying on my prom dress, a toddler next door was going absolutely crazy. He climbed under the divider and into my stall. The toddler lifted the bottom of my dress and placed himself underneath it. Oh. I tried holding it down, even shoving him a little, but he managed to get himself under the dress. This was all happening while I was sitting in my wheelchair.
What?
He then climbed into my lap and tried to find my boobs because he wanted milk.
No.
My mom eventually opened the door and brought the kid back to his mother. It was the worst experience.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.